Welcome to Real Stories, a show that has honest conversations from the heart. I invite you to sit back, relax, and allow our guests to speak their truth.
Hello, I'm Tanya the Communication Doctor, and welcome to Real Stories. I just want to say, I come from a family where people didn't always speak their truth. And I think it's so important to speak their truth. And every day I meet people who, because of society, are just walking with that facade because they feel that it is the way to be. And in Real Stories, I want people to know the real story behind the facade. And that is why I do what I do.
Hi, this is Real Stories, and I am your host, Tanya the Communication Doctor. And today on my show, I have the lovely Vivian Acqua. Hello, Vivian.
Hi, lady.
Lovely to have you on today. And I just want to introduce Vivian as a workplace wellness advocate. So I'm going to start quickly by asking you to tell my audience what that is.
Well, a workplace wellness advocate is a person who advises companies, managers, how to keep their team members healthy, happy, and safe. So I look at the well-being of the employees from a holistic perspective. So that can be somebody might need financial well-being, somebody might lean into mental well-being, or environmental well-being, or they want to work on their career, which is career well-being. As long as they have the opportunity to choose whatever it is that they want to work on so that they can boost their resiliency.
Brilliant. Now that makes a lot of sense. And knowing you and knowing what you do, I just feel that is such an important role to play within the workplace, because I think well-being should be top of the list, and especially now of the current climate in COVID, I think people are starting to recognise the problems that people have with mental health and well-being and so forth. So that's such an important role to play. Now, just to ask you a question, why or what got you into this field? Why wellness? Why health? Why happiness? What's behind that for you?
There is a lot, but I have to start with my grandmother. So my grandmother passed away in 2009 due to diabetes. Okay. And you have to remember that at that time I was a bit younger and not naive, but not knowing what it would mean to me as a future reference. When I became pregnant and my son was born, that was the time when I missed my grandmother the most. I love my mom. I love my aunties, but I have a special connection with my grandmother, and not having her there meant a lot to me. Why? I was warned by the lady who took care of me during my pregnancy. She told me that I might end up with pregnancy diabetes, and I might also pass diabetes to my son if I'm not mindful about what I eat and mindful of my pregnancy. So that was the first shock. The second one was my son changed me to put myself first, to put my health first. And you have to imagine that at 4 months old, he inspired me to switch everything, to flip the switch, to work on myself, to work on my self-esteem, but also on my health. And 3 years later, I had the opportunity to work together with the National Diabetic Foundation here in the Netherlands, to work on a cooking show program where I could honor my grandmother, which is called Cooking Back to Our Roots. And it's still online, findable online. But the main thing why I became a workplace wellness advocate is I have my son and I have my past. And in Ghana, we have a saying, Sankofa, which is an Akan sign, which is return back, go to the past, and whatever it is that it's in the past, bring some of the elements with you in the future. So my past is my gran. Yeah. My future is my son.
Yes.
And learning from my gran and learning from myself what I've dealt with in the workplace inspired me to do what I do now. And I'm even getting goosebumps as I'm saying that, because by the time that my son becomes an adult, I don't want him to deal with the BS that I've dealt with. So I've been discriminated. I've been in workplaces where I've been bullied. I have been bullied during my pregnancy even. There is a lot that I have dealt with, and the list is too long to put that in this podcast, but know that I've dealt with so much. Instead of me becoming a bitter and an angry woman, I decide to put in the magic, the positivity, the good things that I learned from my gran, the good things that I learned from my son, and the positive cultures where I worked for, to put that into what I'm doing now. And that is creating a thriving workplace where employers and employees have a better relationship, have a better understanding.
Gosh, there's so much there, Vivian. And, it's so obvious to me as to why you chose this path. And what I'm finding interesting, just as I'm listening to you and I'm reflecting, I'm looking at the fact that you had to go through those transitions, and I can identify that. So, for example, when you mentioned losing your grandmother in 2009, mm-hmm. that really affecting you and is a great loss to you. So when you are grieving and you're working, mm-hmm. you take time out, don't you?
Yeah.
And sometimes when you lose someone that's very close to you, you look at the world in a very different place. And it sounds to me like your son, having your son at the time you did, was a blessing.
Indeed.
In terms of supporting you now, so that, you know, it's that energy of that unconditional love and that togetherness mm-hmm. is kind of helping you through. And also, like you're saying, you want to live in a better world, you want a better environment, and, you know, it's tough. It is tough out there, especially with the discrimination in the workplace. It's not easy being a Black woman in the workplace. And I want to talk to you a little bit more about that as well. And you mentioned you were bullied as well, but it sounds to me like you were very resilient and you're very strong. But you know what? We don't always have to be that way. Sometimes I think it's important for us to show who we are, or to be able to be authentic without having to always be so resilient. What do you feel about that, Vivian?
I totally agree. I totally agree. But the only thing is, sometimes you come work in workspaces or workplaces where people don't understand you.
Yeah.
And there was a time where I almost doubted myself. I doubted my power. I doubted my mission. I doubted my strength, because people were putting, you know, these question marks in my mind, like, who do you think you are? And you're not this. You don't have the qualification for certain aspects. You should be obedient. I'm just summarizing. You should be obedient in some kind of way. And it's just like, you're dimming my light.
Yes.
I'm a powerful human being. And the thing is, I use my power for good. I'm using my power at the moment to speak up for those who can't speak up. I'm using my power for myself, to heal myself, but also to speak up for myself at the time that I couldn't speak up.
You know what? That's so strong. And I just feel that it is time for us as human beings to step in our power and be honored for stepping in our power.
Mm-hmm.
And just for that, I just thought I wanted to ask you, how would you like to see the workplace moving forward? So what is your vision?
My vision the workplace has to have diversity. It has to be diverse in all layers, in all aspects. I want people to be known for their hidden talents. So not only hire the people just because what you see on their CV, but also hiring them for the potential that they have in them. So maybe taking talent tests to see what else is in that person. And I would also like to see managers empowering their people.
Oh God, you know what? That's so beautiful as well, because that is what we don't normally look for, isn't it, in terms mm-hmm. of potential. I mean, sometimes I know in my experience, like in teaching, I remember someone actually was doing an interview for my job because I was leaving and I was in the interview process. And one thing one of the guys said was that he was excited to take this particular lady on, without me saying too much, because he wanted to mould her. What a lot of people do, they said, and I thought it was okay to say in front of me, and I thought that was just rude. But the whole idea of wanting to mold rather than empower is a problem within the workplace. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And
you're wanting to create a copy of yourself instead of letting that person be, you know, the phoenix that you know that they should be. Exactly. Instead of creating a copy of yourself.
Exactly. And that's why I so identified with what you said, because I think we need to say that loud and clear, you know, to help people and take someone on and actually recognize their hidden talents, because nobody is the one thing, you know. Mm-hmm. Nobody's got one talent. We've all got several talents. So true. I totally understand when you say that. Now,
true. And the power, and to add on, the power is also, diversity has so much power. Diversity has so much layer. And especially with the workforce that is changing, there is a diverse world happening, right? Where you have so many different cultures and so many different layers. And wouldn't you rather do business with somebody you could recognize in different levels?
Yes, no, totally. And this may sound like a real thing, silly question, but I'm going to ask it anyway, because I understand this, but I want to hear your perspective. So, you know, you talked about diversity in the workplace. So how could that change? For example, if you walked into a workplace and you had more diversity in terms of Black and Asian, but also diversity in terms of who you are as a person, how would that change the workplace? I know it may be an obvious question, but mm-hmm. I'd like to hear your perspective on it.
I think it would have shaped my world in a huge way. It could have made a huge impact, because I worked in the IT and the financial field, where I was mainly the only Black woman. And know that I am 1.86 meters, so people notice me. Even though I try to hide, and I used to be much more introverted than I was now, people do notice me, but I made myself invisible. And I made myself becoming one of them, instead of me working on the brand, the powerful brand person that I am now. I wish somebody would have, you know, helped me or mentored me or shown me that there is so much power in me. People said that. People always said that, but I couldn't believe it. And sometimes I'm having a challenging time when people put too much, you know, spice and pepper in what I do. I am just being me. I'm just empowering others, because I lived by empowering others. That's how I climb.
Brilliant, brilliant. And I like that link to spice and pepper. But in terms of like inspiration, I mean, I'm with you totally. I suppose how I kind of see that question is, it's important to inspire others, mm-hmm. and let people see us for who we are. And also, sometimes when you see someone that looks like you in a workplace, or even as a company or as a brand, you're representing a Black woman, and other Black children will see you, or Black, you know, staff will see you. And it's great mm-hmm. to kind of inspire others to move on. I feel that needs to be done more. I'm going to go a little bit deeper in terms mm-hmm. of bullying, because this is real stories. And I do want to hear a little bit more about that story, because I feel there's probably something beneath that that could probably help somebody. So mm-hmm. When you said you were bullied, can you tell us a little bit about that, when you said you were bullied in the workplace? Can you tell us that story?
Well, the story that I can definitely share is, I have two examples. So the first example is, I told my managers, at the time I was working in IT, when I was pregnant, I was about 5 weeks pregnant. I realized that I was pregnant. But in the beginning of my pregnancy, I was feeling sick all the time. And once I found out after week two, I knew that I had to share that I was pregnant. And could you imagine me telling my managers, five managers again at the time, before even sharing that intimate information, personal information, with my family and friends?
Yes.
Once I shared it with one manager, he asked me, was it planned? And that question, up to this day, does a lot with me, because what you're practically telling me is, are you having sex or when are you having sex? Because that's what you're asking me. And even if it wasn't planned or if it was planned, it's none of your business.
Exactly.
It's none of your business because I'm not asking what you're doing behind the doors or who you're cheating with, where, you know, this is a delicate thing that I'm saying now. But there were so many things happening with the men where the managers would prevent their spouses from knowing, or the bad things that they were doing at the workplace, like cheating in the workplace or kissing somebody else. And I'm not saying anything about that, but me becoming pregnant is all of a sudden is a problem.
Yeah, gosh, that, you know what, it's, I totally can identify that and experience something very similar myself with my first pregnancy. So I totally hear you. And I feel a lot of women out there can probably identify with it. It's almost really scary to say you're going to start a family, especially if you're in a leadership role. People look at you, they want to know when you're coming back. They want to know if you're going to be engaged. They assume that when you have a child, you're going to be different in the workplace.
Yes, exactly. Nothing changes. Nothing. Well, the only thing that changes is I'm becoming a mom. But instead of them empowering me, becoming a mom, and combining that with the work, they decided to do something else. So once I knew that they were playing these dirty little tricks, so I was planning my vacation, my baby moon, vacation before the baby came. And I was sick during my pregnancy. I don't know how to deal with this pregnancy because my mom experienced something else than I did. And my manager, he texts me like, okay, but should you be going on a vacation? And I just ignore that. Sometimes it's better to not talk and just ignore that. And eventually I said, it's not working out because the workplace is causing me too much stress. And I was fearful of maybe losing my child because there was so much stress. I was having a high blood pressure. And these are the things that people don't see or don't hear. But saying these, you have to be very mindful what you're saying to a pregnant lady, because you don't know what I've been through. You don't know what the woman has been through. You don't know, maybe it was a hard time to me become pregnant. You don't know that.
Yes, exactly. And your emotion, when you're pregnant, your emotions are all over the place anyway.
Tell me something about that.
So it's really important, like you say, you took time out to think before you speak. Or like you said, you didn't talk, you just kind of took it all in and, you know, what you're going to say and how you're going to move forward. I totally can identify with that as well. And it's not easy being a woman, is it?
I'm not saying that. It's not always easy being a woman when people don't understand where you're coming from. And I would say have an open conversation, but know that the questions that you're asking a pregnant woman, are those the questions that you would like your daughter to answer, or your auntie to answer, or your mother to answer? Think about that before you do something else.
Totally. And I think that we need to remind people that as well sometimes when they treat women in a certain way. You say, would your mother, would you treat your sister that way? Would you treat your mother that way? Well, think again before you approach a situation. God, that's really strong. I'm sorry that you had to go through that, Vivian. And did that lead you on to doing the work that you're doing now?
Yes, exactly. So you're saying you're sorry. I am, in a way, not sorry, because if I hadn't faced that, who would have known if I would have ended up doing what I'm doing now? So in the end, I mean, at that time I was bitter, I was angry, and all the emotions that a woman is valid to have at that time. But I left the company once my son was 4 months, so I'm okay with that. And I use them as an example. Now they are talking about them. They hear me talking about them. And that's also another thing. You're losing an ambassador.
Yes.
You're losing an ambassador. And that ambassador might end up talking bad about you or might end up talking positive about you. It's up to you which one you want to go for.
Yeah. And that's when it comes back to leadership. And I suppose it's in terms of how do you lead? Have you got empathy?
Yeah.
You got that sensitivity? And I bang on about it as well. So I totally understand, because you do need that. But I will say, that's a blessing what happened in some ways. In some ways, in the darkness is always light, and I do feel when one door closes, another door opens, and now
definitely
you're in your business. And sometimes you have to have the experience of that pain to get the passion to do what you do. So
definitely. At least I now have stories where I can connect with people. I see their pain, and sometimes you don't have to talk to me to. I see certain things. I don't have to always talk about, or people don't have to always talk to me. I'm seeing certain things. I'm very observant when it comes to that.
Yes, yes. Now I can tell. I can tell you are. But I'm glad that you're using it in a positive way, like you said, others, and to recognize within the workplace. And and I love how you see the workplace moving forward, your ideal world and your vision.
And
coming back to visions, you know, in just in terms of life, in terms of that whole diversity and people working together, what beautiful richness there would be in that if we just did that. But we've got such a long way to go, haven't we?
Yeah. No, we have. We have. And that's one of the reasons why last year I started doing Let's Humanize the Workplace. It's not a finger pointing at the companies or at the employees, but what can we do together to make that relationship better? What can we do to add more of the human factor in? Because employees are not only used because of their productivity, they are also valuable because of the creativity, because of the valuable assets they bring into the workplace to make the brand better, to make the company better. So I believe that there is more power once we activate the human factor and once we empower the human factor in the workplace.
No, totally. And I want to ask you, since you've been doing Let's Humanize the Workplace, what have you learned about yourself in terms of your own growth?
Everything is figure outable. And it's not my quote, it's a quote from Marie Forleo. I was in the beginning scared of doing this, on speaking on things. I sometimes felt like I don't want it to be like Jerry Springer, and it's not. But I just want to plant thought seeds, you know, thought seeds to raise awareness and to start the conversation from there. And I have to say that my life has been so much richer because I've met you. I have even, you know, I've even invited you as a guest speaker, but I've met so many wonderful people, and so many wonderful people reach out to me saying that what you're doing right now is so powerful. I wish I had known this. I wish that people, you know, take care about this. And I'm also hearing that people are going to do better from now on. And that's all that I want.
Brilliant. Oh, that's beautiful. That's a beautiful reflection that that people are loved and they love what you're doing, and that's what you do. And in yourself, as long as you're happy and you feel happier, and that's what I was kind of getting at when I asked the question. I suppose I know what you're doing. Obviously, you're helping up people, but how are you feeling? So it's obvious to me that you're feeling happier within yourself. And that's so important with your own well-being when we're doing this work, that we feel happy ourselves, you know? Yeah, that's so important. That's so important. So other than kind of helping people, diversity, what else makes you happy?
What else makes me happy? You want to know what's maybe on my mood board. So I created a mood board, and I am an America fan. Oh. I was before, you know, dealing with what's happening now in America and the leader. But I have a strong connection with San Francisco. So I have San Francisco in my kitchen as an inspiration board. But I also feel like, for me, San Francisco, that place feels like my second home. It has a European feeling. I feel connected.
That's interesting, because I've not been to San Francisco. So tell us a little bit more about that for someone who's not traveled to San Francisco before. Why does that make you feel that way? What does it do for you? How does it make you feel?
The Golden Gate Bridge. When you see that in movies, it's weird for me to share that I have a fascination for the Golden Gate Bridge, but it's a magical place for me. It does something to me, and it feels, maybe I've been there before, I don't know. But there is this magical place where when I am at the Golden Gate Bridge, I feel at home. There is this magic in the bridge. You can see the ocean, you can see the Pacific on the other side, and you can see the city on the other side, and it has a magical touch.
you know, it's so interesting how places can do that to you and you mm-hmm. have that connection, because it's almost like sometimes it's that feeling of deja vu, or that feeling of maybe that was a past life. I've been there before, but you feel connected to a place and you don't know why.
Yeah.
And I feel the same sometimes. I'm the sort of person that trusts my intuition, and mm-hmm. I want to go, because everywhere I've lived, you know, I've not necessarily chosen. I've just allowed it to happen, you know, allowed it to happen. I feel by doing that, you feel a little bit more home and connected, and you feel like, oh, I understand this place. I feel connected. As you said, you feel connected with San Francisco and it feels like your home. So do you think that may be your second move?
I don't have to live there to feel connected, right? I just go there and do a lot of shopping. You should. Oh, yeah. Another crazy thing about me is when I go to the States, and this is a trick that I shouldn't be sharing here on the radio. I don't know if the next time they will pass me by, but I go empty. I go with two suitcases and I go empty. Like I said, I am a tall woman.
Yeah.
1.86 meters. I need clothes. I need curvy clothes, and they don't have curvy clothes here. At least not curvy for curvy tall women.
Yeah.
And when I go there, my luggage and my partner's luggage, because he only fills in one of his luggage, and I end up having three luggages, huge luggages with books and a lot of clothes and shoes, and I love it there.
That sounds like that's such a great confession though, isn't it? I think everyone has got retail therapy. It's just brilliant for most people, isn't it?
Definitely. I need some of it now.
Oh gosh, I'm missing retail as well. Shopping, no, totally. I hear you, whilst the lockdown. And it's just interesting how these little things really heal us, or you just feel good, like you've got a new dress, a new stick. You know, how clothes can make you really feel good. It's really interesting how that does that. But so I totally understand you. And I'm loving your link with Frank San Francisco. So thank you very much. Now, I'm going to come to the end of the show now. But before I do, I would like to close the show with you giving me some wise words that you learned from grandmother. Because I feel that when you mentioned your grandmother, it was such a lovely energy and such a connection there. And I just thought it'd be nice to share if there's something that she used to tell you that used to make you feel good.
Mm-hmm. The funny thing is, my grandmother and I, we didn't exchange that much words. We exchanged our hearts. And I have to still come back to Sankofa, which is a tattoo on my arm, on my left arm. And it's literally means go back and fetch. Go back and fetch. And in everything that I do, I apply the Sankofa method. I try to do that with my guests. I try to do that with my son. I try to do that in everything that we do. So what I'm trying to say is learn from the life lessons, even though at the time you might be hurting, but learn from them and try to apply them to your future ideas, your future dreams. You never know what kind of hidden gem you might find in those lessons.
That's such a strong message. Go back and fetch. And it's interesting, I suppose, when you translate that into English.
Yes, definitely.
And I suppose, I mean, what I'm hearing is that kind of gathering, is it's almost like gathering that abundance and gathering. Mm-hmm. That's how I'm kind of seeing it visually, kind of gathering and pulling in. And embracing some of the stuff that maybe sometimes we don't always have to, we find it hard to embrace, you know. That's beautiful. Thank you so much, Vivian. I'm going to say, from Tony the Communication Doctor and Vivian Acqua, adios.
Bye.
Such rich conversation today from Vivian. One of my takeaways has definitely got to be Sankofa. Go back and fetch. Go back to move forward for enrichment. And another takeaway was to diversify the workplace, and also for managers to concentrate on empowering their employees rather than them being like robots or knocking them down. Such richness. And I'm going to have to call this podcast Don't Dim My Light, because that came across as well.
to allow others to shine within the workplace and around you. Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening. If you would like to learn more, please visit our website at communicationdoctor.co.uk. To listen to more real stories, don't forget to subscribe.